Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
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 It's what we've been building for all year, right? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
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 Easter Sunday. Some of us got up way too early. I shouldn't complain. I wasn't here cooking breakfast. Thank you, Carol and Judy. Anyone who helped them. It's Easter Sunday. It's a day to get up early, and we go to church. We dress up. Some of you look sharp. I'm not going to point out anyone.
Yes.
Should point at Kathy, too. That hat's just adorable. It's Easter Sunday. We get up early. We have breakfast. We come together at church. We see old friends and new faces. We sing songs that are keyed way too high. I think Ben even transposes them down sometimes. It's still high. I don't know about you. I can't sing that high in the morning. High school, I was in the choir. I was in a zero-period choir, which in hindsight is a bad time to do choir. We met before the rest of the school met. So I practiced with the basses in the morning, and then whenever we sang at night, I sang with the tenors. That's a music joke. For those of you who don't get that, I'm sorry. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
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 So they went out and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Christ is risen? That's not very inspiring, is it? That's not inspiring at all. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There are four Gospels in the Bible, right? Paul, John, George, and Ringo, is that right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes. And Matthew and Luke and John describe the resurrection differently. Matthew and Luke and John, they like to talk to us about the road to Emmaus, where Jesus appears to some of the followers, and they have this vision of him, and then he disappears. They talk about him going into the upper room, the story of Doubting Thomas. Some of you have heard that story, right? Doubting Thomas?
Yeah.
They talk about him meeting them as they're fishing by the sea, breaking bread and sharing fish with them. But as near as we can figure, when we look at a lot of the oldest manuscripts of the book of Mark, all of those manuscripts agree up through here. They all agree that at least this much of the story is in Mark. And then we have some manuscripts that end there, and we have some manuscripts that go on a little bit longer. I'm going to do a tangent, confuse some of you, and entertain some of the rest. Any of you ever heard of those churches that do things like snake handling?
Yeah.
You know, the drinking of toxic substances, stuff like that?
Yeah.
They get that from the very, very tail end of Mark, Mark 16, 9 through 20. That's where that gets referenced. That's where the holding up of serpents and they won't bite you and the drinking of stuff, that's where they get that from, Mark 16, 9 through 20. But that's part of this bit of Mark that is a little bit more controversial. Like I say, there are very old manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark that have the entire book, but they just stop at 8. So it is entirely possible that for some people in the ancient world, hearing the Gospel of Mark, it is entirely possible, in fact, it is quite likely that for them, this is where that story ended. Because remember, back then, they didn't have that fully printed out, beautiful, leather-bound Bible that you can hold the whole thing in your hands and just kind of flip it through. Or you can set it on the shelf and then just tell people that at least you have a copy. We all know about that one, right? They didn't, right? They either heard the story orally, or maybe a few lucky ones had a copy of a book, maybe a letter of Paul. But they didn't have the whole thing. So for some of those people, some of those early Christians experiencing the Gospel of Mark, for them, the story really ended right there. It ended with this statement, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Why end like that? Of all the possible ways to end the story of the resurrection, why would you end there? Mark is a gospel in a hurry. Those of you who have been on some of the Bible studies where I've talked about this, and you've heard me ramble about it at other times, because I'm a pastor and we ramble. We do. We repeat ourselves. We ramble. What else do we do? Oh, we do embarrassing stories about our families. Sorry, honey, you're giving me that look. I'll stop right there. That was apparently close to being an embarrassing story about the family. I am so going to have to sleep on the couch tonight. Mark is a gospel in a hurry. Mark is the gospel that keeps saying, and then. It'll say something happened, and then this happened. And then this happened, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. It's like listening to an overactive, eight-year-old trying to tell you a story. And immediately this, and immediately that, and immediately this and that. Mark does not dilly-dally. He doesn't dawdle. He just flies through that story. And I have a hunch that his choice to end like this is related, because Mark's on a mission with his gospel. This congregation, known as Bethel Lutheran Church, has had a very eventful last year or so. Amen?
Amen.
We've been through a little bit. And during that time, some people have responded to those experiences very organically, very naturally, very humanly, by walking away. It's okay to acknowledge that. That has been the response of some to the things that we have been through, the process of selling a building and moving into this place and creating a home here. It's a very natural reaction to walk away in the face of that kind of trial and tribulation. And some folks have responded by staying very loyal, very silently loyal with their presence, being stalwarts. And some have responded by becoming even more involved than they were. And all of that is very human. Mark's way of ending the gospel puts the emphasis on how we, the hearer, we, the reader, experience his story. Because think about it. If no one is going to tell the story ends. Right? I mean, clearly someone told the story. Pretend for a moment in some theoretical world that this statement is true. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, I know you're all grown-ups. Some of you more grown-up than others. And I think you are smart enough people to put it together and recognize that if no one tells the story, how are we telling the story today? Right? Now think about that for a second. Someone had to say something. If the women truly reacted in terror and amazement, and that's it, then the story is over. Then 2,000 years ago, these three women have this experience, they leave the tomb, and it's over. But 2,000 years later, we're here, dealing with wonky heating systems and figuring out how to keep the lights going and stuff like that. We're here because that story has been passed down. It's been passed down to us by parents and grandparents, teachers, friends, maybe for some, children. How are you going to respond to the news of the resurrection? That's the choice that we have as Christians every day. As people who claim the name of Christ, who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are followers and holders of that gospel message, of that message of love and hope and joy and truth? That's the question. How will we respond? Do we respond in terror and amazement and say nothing to anyone? Or do we share that story? Because clearly they did. Whatever the ending of Mark is, clearly those women did share that story. Because again, if they didn't, you would all still be asleep at home. I know I would, because I'm not a morning person. But they did, and it changed everything. That is the challenge for us, not just as a congregation, but as the entire body of Christ, is every day to ask ourselves this resurrection, this idea that there is life out of apparent death, that there is hope out of apparent hopelessness. What's that? It's kind of cheesy, but there's the thing about the butterfly. Just when it thought its life was over, the caterpillar turned into a beautiful butterfly. It's kind of cheesy, but it's true. For that butterfly, excuse me, for that caterpillar, up until it gets into its what, chrysalis? That's all it's known, is this way of being. And if it was capable of anything resembling rational thought, it would be terrified. But then everything changes, and it comes out beautiful and new and whole. It's not a coincidence that if you go into many of the old Christian tombs back thousands of years ago, the symbol of the butterfly was a common motif. That idea of life out of apparent death. That is what each and every one of you is called to. To ask yourselves, how do I share this message with others? How do I live this gospel in my daily lives? And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes it's socially unacceptable. But any of you with ears and eyes know that we live in a world that needs a message of hope and love more than ever. It needs a message that it is okay to love those with whom you disagree. That it is okay to welcome the stranger. That it is okay to recognize the humanity of the poor. Because every day we are inundated with people and places that tell us the opposite. And that's not gospel. When you leave this place for your Easter Sunday, and you go have your, probably some ham, is that right? Some green bean casserole with the crunchy onions on the top, which I detest, but some people love, so whatever. Some sort of potato dish, probably involving cheese, right? There'll be a salad, probably Caesar. Maybe not. If there's ranch on the side, if it isn't. Am I coming close? Let's see, what's the other one? Some sort of bread and butter. Jello. How did I forget Jello? Wow, I like lose major Lutheran credit right there. I'm sorry. Jello that if it's anything like my home I grew up in, mom has gotten creative and decided that it needs to have a vegetable in it. And it's like, no, that's not how that works, mom. It's supposed to be sugar. But as you go home and you do that, and you go through the rest of your day, and maybe you have an egg hunt, or you think about years gone by, and egg hunts gone by, remind yourself that the call of a follower of Christ is to be seized by that terror and amazement, but then to go forth from there and share that good news. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O gracious, good, and loving God, for the message of hope that you have shared with us. We ask you to help us to understand how to share that message with others. Help us to remain faithful to that gospel truth. Help us to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to welcome the stranger and to recognize the value of the poor. Help us in all times and all places to be carriers of your gospel light. We pray all of this trusting in your holy name. Amen.